Chapter number 8. How many have your Bible tonight?
Amen.
Good. Well, I always say the Bible. There's no book like the Bible.
Amen. Right.
We teach our phone, the Bible reveals God. The Bible does.
Yep.
The fall of man, the way of salvation, and God's plan and purpose for the ages.
Amen.
I believe we ought to teach people how to explain the Bible. Amen. And while we believe the Bible reveals God, the fall of man, the way of salvation, and God's plan and purpose for the ages. Aren't you glad we got the Bible?
Amen.
I want you to read with me, if you would, please, in Luke chapter number 8. The Bible says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city. I want you to notice every city. Every city. And village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out whom went 7 devils. Could you imagine that woman before she got saved? And Joanna, the wife of Chusa's Herod steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Let's pray. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And I ask you to help me tonight that you might anoint me fresh and new with your spirit.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, that you would take this simple truth and do what I cannot do. And that speak to the hearts of people. Open our minds and our hearts of understanding. Help us to see truth.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, if there's one here tonight that's not sure they're going to heaven, may this night be their day of salvation.
Amen.
But help all of us determine that when we leave this meeting tonight, that we're going to please you with our lives.
Yeah.
And we'll thank you and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
We read in this portion of scripture where the Bible says the Lord Jesus took the disciples, the 12 disciples, and he took with him certain women. I like that expression, certain women. You know, there are certain people in God's Word that are so special. Certain women. And then the Word of God says in verse number 3, and many others. And the Bible says he took them to Galilee. And the Word of God says that he was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. I want you to think about tonight the Lord Jesus and the first gospel crusaders. The Lord Jesus. The Word of God says that he took these 12 and he took these certain women. And he took many others with him, and he went down to Galilee preaching. By the way, wouldn't you love to hear Jesus preach?
Amen.
I think we're going to get to hear that. Preaching and showing. I like it. He's showing. He's showing the people of Galilee what the power of the gospel can do. Can you imagine? He's got with him these certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus said, now this is what God can do.
Yeah.
He can transform your life. He can make you new.
Yes.
And he had the 12 disciples. And he had these certain women, certain people. Then he had many others with him.
Yes.
I want you tonight to let me label these people, if you would. And I want to talk about how God works in a church and how to build people and to reach people. By the way, we're on a mission from God. Are you on a mission?
Amen. Right.
You know, a lot of folk are more interested in having missionaries than they are being on a mission. Now, we ought to have missionaries. But I want you to know something. You can have missionaries and not be on a mission.
Amen.
We're on a mission from God. And this mission began during the Lord's earthly ministry. And he took with him the disciples.
Amen.
And certain people which had been healed and delivered. And he took with him many others And we're going to talk about these folk. I want you to know tonight that in every movement of God, in every church, there are four groups of people. I'd like you to write them down if you don't mind. Four groups of people. First of all, there are leaders. Thank God for leaders. And tonight, for just the sake of this message, I would like for you to let me use these 12 disciples to illustrate, and later on in this message to show you what God does with leaders and how important it is to have leaders. There are leaders. And then there are workers. Every church needs good workers. Don't you think so?
Amen.
And the Bible says there were certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. We're going to say more about it later on. But let's let these women represent the workers in our church. And number three, there are followers. And many others, the Bible says, which went with him. And so you have leaders, workers, and followers. Every church has leaders, workers, and followers. There's so much I'd like to say about those things, but I'm going to try to stay with my message tonight. But every church needs leaders, and every church needs workers, and every church needs followers. But there's a fourth group of people in this portion of Scripture, and that are the people of Galilee. And they represent the people who need to be reached, those who need to be reached. And I want you to know that God has given us a mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every single person. And this church is on a mission from God to take the gospel to every single person, beginning right here in their Jerusalem and going to the ends of the earth. Every church and every pastor ought to consider themselves the very center of world evangelism.
Amen.
And I tell our church all the time, when you're here, you're at the center of world evangelism. It all begins right here at Gulf Coast Baptist Church. And you know, people get excited about it.
Amen.
And I want you to know, you ought to feel the same way about this.
Amen.
You ought to feel the same way about where you pastor. It is the center of world evangelism. It's where it begins. Amen. To the ends of the earth. And in order to do that, we've got to have leaders, we've got to have workers, we've got to have followers, and we've got to realize there is a world to reach. Amen. And so we're going to talk about these tonight. First of all, I want you to think about those to be reached. You know, there are people in every city, there are people actually in every church who need to be reached. Those to be reached are people who are unsaved, or people who are saved but have never followed Christ in believers' baptism. This means amen. Let's practice one.
Amen.
If you're saved, you ought to be baptized.
Amen.
So there are people who are saved but have never been baptized. And then there are people who are saved and baptized who are not now a part of a local church. And so there are that group of people who need to be reached. Sometimes they're unsaved. Sometimes they're saved and they've never been baptized. Sometimes they're saved and baptized, but they're not now a member and serving God in a local church. They are always those to be reached.
That's right. Yes.
And one of the most difficult things in a ministry is to make sure that people are in the right position. Can you imagine having someone? I was in a church not too long ago, and they had people in the choir, they had people teaching Sunday school, they had people in leadership, and I'm talking about an independent Baptist church, people doing that who were not members of the church. And some of them, they didn't even know whether they were members of a Baptist church anyway. But they showed up and they wanted to do something. They said, well, hey, around here, if you walk in the door and you want to serve God, we'll give you a place. No. We have a plan. And we have an example. The Lord Jesus took with him these with him, and he's showing us how to do the work of God. By the way, when he was about, he could have went to Calvary. But he taught us how to do his work.
Yeah.
He wants us to do the same thing he did when he was on this earth. And so we have those to be reached. And then you have followers. Thank God for followers. You know, every church needs followers. You know what I'm talking about? Followers. Followers are people who have been saved and have followed Christ in believers' baptism. And they're part of the church and they're just serving God. Now, followers, I love followers, don't you? We have in our church golden rules. As a matter of fact, everybody in leadership and all the workers of our church must understand, not just know, they must understand the golden rules of Gulf Coast Baptist Church. And I won't go through those tonight with you, but the golden rules of our church, golden rule number one is to accept people where they are and love them and see their worth. You know what a follower wants? A follower wants somebody to love them. And God created us with a need to be loved. A follower is someone who's trusted the Lord, who's followed Christ in believer's baptism. They've started their journey for God.
Amen.
Now look, I learned from Dr. Robertson, there's things that every follower ought to do. And we say those five things that every follower ought to do. Number one, they ought to read their Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, they ought to pray.
Amen.
Number three, they ought to be faithful to church.
Amen.
Number four, they ought to give.
Right.
And number five, they ought to tell others about Christ.
Amen.
You see, they've got to start telling others. And we call those five things the five-star Christian. Now here's what I learned. Every victory in the Christian life is the result of doing one of those five things. Every victory. And every problem in the Christian life can be traced to the neglect of one of those five things.
That's right. Amen.
Now that's a powerful truth to get a hold of.
Amen.
Every victory we win is a result of doing one of those five things. And every problem that we have can be traced to the neglect of one of those five things.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, to get people to hand out gospel tracts. To be a witness. Now, that's a very important thing. I learned from Dr. Robertson that as soon as a person gets saved, he ought to invite somebody and tell somebody in his family what God's done for him.
Amen.
And then he ought to tell somebody outside his family what God's done for him. And I learned this, that you cannot carry cigarettes and gospel tracts in the same church.
Amen.
I learned that myself. Do you know you got to make a decision? Now watch, when you hand out a gospel tract, something happens, doesn't it?
Amen.
The moment you hand out a gospel tract, something happens.
That's right.
In your life, people hold you accountable.
Yeah.
And when you hand out a gospel tract, God starts a work in that person's life.
Amen.
You know, God wants everybody to be saved. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
Now seriously, do you believe God wants everybody to be saved?
Yes.
Do you believe God can save every single person?
Yes.
Then why isn't God saving people? Because somebody has to start the process. Now watch, I want you to help me. Come in just a second, young man. And let's see, you help me, would you? Now, I want you to pretend this is going to take some imagination. Can I hold this microphone? I want you to pretend that this young man is God. That's going to take some imagination. And here's a young Christian. And he's concerned about someone. Let's say he wants to see this lady saved. And you say, you ask God, does God want that person saved? Ask God.
Does God want that person saved?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Yes.
Can God save that person?
Can God save that person?
Yes.
Well, then why don't God go save them? God won't go for us.
Right.
And you can pray and pray and cry and plead, but God will not go for you, but God has promised that He will go with you.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
And so if you'll go, and you go, take a track. See that track right there? Get a track. Take a tract, and you go, give that dear lady a tract, tell her God loves her, and look, now you come back and God stays.
Amen.
And God begins a work. Go ahead, God begins a work. He tells a work in her life. And every time that you talk to a human being, every time you speak to a human being about God, God begins a work in that person's life.
Amen.
And we watch people that are dying without God. And we say, why didn't God do something? God is bound by his word, and he has promised, lo, I am with you. God doesn't go for you, but God goes with you. And once God goes with you, he begins a process that never ends in that person's life. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Now look, when a person tells someone about Christ, God begins a work in that person's life. Plus, God does a work in the person who's talking. God begins to manifest his presence. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, that God inhabits the praise of Israel. Do you believe God inhabits the praise of his people?
Yes.
When we were singing those hymns tonight, didn't you sense and feel the presence of God?
Yes.
Come on, did you?
Amen.
Do you know that God inhabits the praise of his people? 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that it might destroy, now listen to this, destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Do you know when God manifests his presence? He destroys the works of the devil. How many have ever had someone apologize to you about something they said and they apologized to you? Come on. Now, why did they do that? There was a presence of God. Do you know every victory in the Christian life is won in the presence of God? If we want people to win personal victory, there's five things we have to get them to do. Read their Bible, pray, be faithful to church, give, and tell others about Jesus. Each one of those produces so many things in a believer's life. Just handing out a gospel tract, telling people about Jesus, begins that process of winning personal victory.
Amen.
Now look, what do we want followers to do? We want followers to do five things. That's all. Read your Bible. Pray. Be faithful to church. Give. And tell others about Jesus. And if they'll do those five things and do them consistently, they're going to win enough victories to become a worker. Now watch. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 8. The Word of God says, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Followers are people who are winning personal victory. They're winning personal victory. Thank God they're winning victory.
Amen.
Some of our best church members, I can remember when they would kneel down on the altar and pray God will help them to quit smoking or to help them with their language. And we would pray for them, and men would pray around them, and ladies would pray around ladies and pray that God would help them. And you know, we'd always say, listen, carry gospel tracts. Invite people you work with. You know, the adulterer hunts for precious life. Did you know that?
Right.
And you get a young person carrying a gospel tract in a public school, and guess who stays away from that young person? You get a dear lady who's saved, a nice, attractive lady who's saved and works in the bank. Get her to put some gospel tracts on her desk, and look who stays away from that lady.
Amen.
Yeah.
We do people an injustice when we don't get them involved in what God wants them to do. The Lord Jesus shows us in his word how to get followers to win personal victory.
Amen.
He said the woman at the well. That's one of my favorite conversions in the Bible. I love that story. Now here's a woman, a first century woman with a 21st century problem.
Yeah.
She'd married five times and given up on it, now just living with somebody. And the Lord Jesus, I believe, sent her back to the village. I don't think she forgot her water pot, because in that part of the world, water pots are very precious. You're not going to leave one. The only reason she would have left that water pot is because she knew she was coming back. And I can just hear her say, would you watch my pot? I'll be back in a minute.
Amen. That's good.
And when she went to town and told everybody what God did for her, guess who started living right in that city? She did.
Yeah,
We cannot expect people to win personal victory and start living right if we don't let them get started where they are. When I first got saved, my pastor took me to find all of my friends. I'll tell you what, that was quite a thing. A lot of things were accomplished. Number one, I won some personal victory. And number two, I lost some friends I didn't need. And look, you get a new convert to invite their friends to church or invite their family members, and you're going to see God do a work where they live, where they go to school, and you're going to see God start a work in the home. Every victory in a Christian life is a result of doing one of these five things. Does everybody understand that? And then a worker, these certain women, these certain people. Now the Bible says very clearly that they were healed. I like that word, don't you?
Amen.
You know, the Word of God says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You know, people often ask, do Baptists believe in healing? By the way, I believe in healing, don't you?
Amen.
Come on, do you believe in healing?
Amen.
Now people think we're always talking about physical, and hey, thank God, I heard yesterday a dear person had cancer, and they said God healed him. I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen for that. God doesn't always heal a person physically. Sometimes He does, and thank God when He does. But there are certain things that God always heals.
Yes.
First of all, He heals those that are dead in trespasses and sin. It can't get any better healing than that. And then the Word of God says, when you give Him your body, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, He renews and heals your mind. The Gadarene maniac, they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, now listen to this, in his right mind. The Bible says these women were healed. God heals people. Here's a great verse. As a matter of fact, a couple of them. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Don't you love that verse? God does a good job of it. Once you get saved, God will heal your mind. He will purge your conscience. He'll heal your broken heart. And the Word of God says He heals those that were oppressed of the devil. That word literally means held back, tied down. That's why the Bible says, you shall know the Son, and the Son shall make, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These women have been healed. Here's another great verse, Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son, God speaking to Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? It means what?
Savior.
Savior. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, plural. First there is salvation, then there is deliverance. And the Lord Jesus is showing us that not only do people get saved, but if they'll continue to serve God, they will be delivered. That's why the Bible says it went about preaching and showing. These women were a testimony. They were a testimony to what God can do. They were a testimony at the saving grace of God. And so the Lord Jesus is showing us the way to do the work of God is to make sure that you got followers. Make sure you have some workers. Now let me say tonight that followers reach people. The people who just got saved, they know where everybody else who needs God. They know where they are. How many have ever had a kid get saved on a bus and next week they got two or three more kids with them?
Amen.
They know where sinners are.
Amen.
And look, you'll have somebody in the service, maybe someone who got saved or work in a bank or work in an office somewhere, and a couple of weeks will go by, and all of a sudden they've got a co-worker sitting next to them. What's going on? They know. They know.
That's right.
What they need. We have what we call in our church contacts. And we take contacts. How many people can you invite to church this week? Give them a gospel tract, invite them to church. That's where everybody begins. And we have contests sometimes and see how many contacts we can make. How many people can you invite in 1 week? We had a dear brother named Jack Prince who went home to be with the Lord many years ago. He's a World War II veteran. And Jack Prince, when he was 89 years old, was inviting over 200 people a week to church, giving out gospel tracts. Boy, what a man he was. What a testimony. And every time you invite somebody, every time you speak to someone, it begins a process. And so workers encourage followers to reach people. Let me say that again. Workers encourage followers to reach people. And so you have followers. And you have workers. And then you have the other group, which is the disciples. And these are leaders. Now, if you read on in Luke chapter number 9, you'll find out that these men had some problems. By the way, there are no perfect people in the world. And the leaders, God's A-team, had some real problems. You remember they were arguing with each other who's the greatest in the kingdom? Sometimes leaders forget what it's all about. It's not about who's the biggest or the best. It's about Jesus. Sometimes they forget who the enemy is, or they're rebuking someone in Luke chapter number 9 who was casting out devils in the name of Jesus, but he wouldn't follow them. So they rebuked him. And Jesus said, "Are you crazy?" I paraphrase it. Sometimes leaders don't even know who the real enemy is. And then they got a bad spirit. They want to call fire down from heaven and burn them all up. Aren't you glad God doesn't give preachers the ability to call fire down from heaven? Tomorrow in the newspaper, there'd be a need for funeral directors. Think about a dozen people I'd like to call fire down. I better get back to the message. But here they are. They're the ones God's chosen. I mean, they got problems. They're arguing with each other. They don't know who the enemy is. They got a bad spirit, but nevertheless, they're the ones that God has chosen to do His work. And you know, there's one thing that's consistent. It hasn't changed much, has it? I've taken my wife to probably one too many preachers' meetings. I'm just cutting up with you. Boy, preachers can chew you up quick. Did you know that? But here they are. And God's got something. Now watch. I want you to notice what the Word of God says about the followers and many others. Look in the Bible, Luke chapter 8. Look what the Bible says. Look very carefully. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 3. And many others, which what? Many. Read it out loud. Which what?
Ministers.
Of what?
Of
what?
Their substance.
Their substance. I've never met a pastor who didn't need more money. But it's never money, friends. It's always people. People will bring what they have to God's Word. If you want more, then reach people. The good people of Gulf Coast Baptist Church has made the ministry possible. Followers give. They bring everything they've got for God. You know, I have a special campaign. I've only used it once in our church, and I let a friend of mine, Jonathan Comer, use it, another man use it. I haven't used it prior to that because it's kind of funny. But anyway, if you need it, I'll let you have it. But you got to promise you'll do it exactly right. That's why nobody's ever used it. They haven't done it exactly like they promised. But it's called Pour It On Jesus Sunday, Break the Alabaster Box. And when our church was struggling, we were building a building. We needed some help. And we have people just like you, didn't have any money. Nobody had money. Nobody has money. And we had to build a building. And we were in it. And we had a Pour It On Jesus Sunday, Break the Alabaster Box. And I developed this campaign, and our people, just 100 or so people at that time, had a cash offering on a Sunday morning. Almost gave me a heart attack Sunday morning, Sunday night. Our people brought an offering of $258,000. How about that heart attack? They got consumed with it. I let Brother Jonathan Comer use it in Lewisburg, West Virginia. How many know Jonathan? Anybody know Jonathan? He used it. I said, you got to do it like this. He did. He had a cash offering with 200 people of $476,000. Says he's raised over $1 million with it. People say, people don't have that kind of money. Oh, they do. But they got to have a reason for doing it. The need is always people. It's never money. If people buy into what you're doing, if followers love what you're doing and it's changing their life and changing their family and changing their Jerusalem,
amen.
Trust me, they will put all in to see God do something.
Yeah, that's good.
I've seen so many people turn down promotions and transfers because they said there's no church like this church anywhere else but here. God is so good. See, followers want to serve God. And the more they do, the more they read their Bible and pray and faithful church and give and tell it, the more they grow, and pretty soon they become workers. They've won personal victories. They've been healed. Their mind, their hearts, their conscience. They've been delivered from the oppressor. They want to serve God. Then they can become leaders. Now, leaders are different. There's a message for leaders. The Lord Jesus is going down to Galilee. He's taken with him the disciples and certain people which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities and many others to do the work of God. And we see how he uses followers. They're bringing people. I mean, they were bringing everybody in Galilee to Jesus. And the workers, but then the disciples. I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9, the Word of God says in verse number 35, when Jesus went about all the city and villages, remember that? Every city and every village. But when he went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can you imagine all the followers bringing people to Jesus? All the workers and those been healed said, listen, God can save you. God can heal you. God can do. There's no place like this place. Boy, there's days that I can think of at Gulf Coast Baptist Church when people would say, if you could just get on the parking lot of our church, God would do something in your heart. I long to see those days over and over again. The Bible says, and when he saw the multitudes, in verse number 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he has sent forth labors into his harvest. The Lord, the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus saw the multitude,
right,
he was moved with compassion. We all have our own understanding of what it means to be a compassionate Christian. But if you allow me, just in this portion of Scripture, to use this, compassion is not having a hurt for people or concern for people, but compassion is having people in your heart. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. It's one thing to see people, but it's another to have them in your heart. And when the Lord Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. His heart was so full of people. Then he said unto the certain women, is that what the Bible says? Look what the Bible says. Then he said unto the certain women. Is that what he said?
No, sir.
Then he said unto the many others that followed him. Is that what he said?
No.
No. The word of God says, he said unto the disciples. I got something for you, fellas. Not for the certain women. Not for the many others. Not for the workers. Not for the followers. But I have a message for the men and women who are leaders. The harvest truly is plenteous. The labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth labors into his harvest. What Jesus is telling these disciples is this. You got to get this in your heart. You got to get a heart full of people. You got to go where people are.
Amen.
You can't stay in an office and stay in a church building. You got to get out in the highways and hedges and see people in their lost condition. And as you see them, God does something. He puts them in your heart. Would God give us church members who had heart full of people.
Amen.
Full of people. And he says, and once you get your heart full of people, once you get them in your heart, then pray. And we know the Bible says that man looketh on outward appearance, but God looks where?
On the heart.
On the heart. And so we say, Lord, I need laborers. And God doesn't look on the outside. He doesn't look at the building and the pews, but God looks in the hearts of his men. And he sees what we have in our heart that we want to do for God. I make you a promise tonight on the authority of God's word. If you'll get people in your heart, God will give you every single thing you need to reach them. I had the joint privilege of being with Dr. Lee Robertson.
Good.
What a Christian. And I prayed with him. We had prayer meetings. I mean, I think I knew him about as well as anybody that knew him outside of his family. And I can tell you something. He had so much in his heart he wanted to see God do. He believed that God would let him reach the world. And he prayed for laborers. And he trained over 7,000 men and women. I'm one of them. That God gave him to do what he was willing to accept. Now here's the truth of leaders. You ready? Leaders will have no more than they're willing to accept. God is looking for someone to accept the responsibility of the unsaved. Paul said in Romans chapter number 9, verses 1 through 3, I wish myself a curse from God for my kindred, my brethren. When we're willing to accept the responsibility to get the gospel to people, then God will give us what we need to reach what we are willing to accept. We got a little lady from Haiti named Mackie. She's a leader in our church. We have a lot of ladies in our church who have become leaders. Now, I'm not talking about deacons or anything, just leaders. Because leaders do this. You ready for this? Here's what every leader does. You ready for this? A leader determines where the gospel goes.
Amen.
That's a difference in leaders. That's a difference in a leader and a worker. A leader determines where the gospel goes. You can have someone in a public school and they can have a burden for that school and they can get those kids in their heart and they'll say, oh God, we need laborers. God, I'll meet you for these souls. God will give that person what they need to accomplish what they're willing to accept and
Amen.
To meet God with at the judgment seat of Christ. And to be able to stand at the great white throne and have clean hands. Mackie They opened up a new assisted living not far from our church, an upscale, I mean really, really upscale place. Kind of you and I probably never would end up in. And she's in there. She's a sweet lady, a very sharp lady. She got a burden for those people. Wealthy people. And she asked, can we have a service here? A gospel service? And they said, well, sure. If you want. So she told Brother Billy, who's one of our men who heads up our gospel hours. We have over 100 gospel hours a month in places. And said they were willing to let us have a gospel service in that place. They had a meeting room and everything. And so Billy said, okay, we put together a team and we went and started it. And right off the bat, we start seeing people saved. Then I got a call from hospice. And they said, I don't know if he's a member of your church, but he's requested a visit from you. And I said, okay. And I went down to the hospice and I met a precious man, his sweet wife. And she trusted Christ as Savior in one of the services. But he had gotten saved in that first gospel meeting.
Amen.
Of that assisted living. He was in hospice. He said to me, I wanted to meet you. I wanted to thank you for sending someone to that place.
Amen.
He said, tomorrow I'm flying home. They've secured a private jet. They're flying me back to Kansas. And I'll be dying there. I said, wow, well, I'm glad you got saved. He said, me too. He said, who would ever dream an attorney general would end up with dying in a place that one of your men would come and tell him how to be saved? Can you imagine? The Attorney General of the state of Kansas was in that service. And Mackie said, God's got to get somebody in here. These people need God. Oh God! Oh God! Get somebody here to preach the gospel!
Praise the Lord.
And God gave her what she was willing to accept. And laborers came. I'll tell you something. We'll never have revival until we are willing to accept the responsibility for the salvation of people. We'll never see churches take off until we're willing to accept responsibility. I don't want to just have a service. I want to meet God and have made a difference in the city that God has planted me. And I say to our church, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you. Let's spend our lives for God.
Amen.
I want you to do something tonight. If you got a pencil and piece of paper, I want you to do something. It won't take but a second. I want you to get a piece of paper. I want you to do it. It won't take a second. I want you to take a piece of paper and a pencil. And I want you to draw a straight line on a piece of paper. Just draw a straight line. Come on, take a moment, do it. Draw one for your wife if she don't have one. Draw one. Draw a line. On one side, put an X. And on the other side, put an X. On the left side, put born. B-O-R-N. Born. On the right side, put this word, die. D-I-E. And underneath that line, I want you to write this, my life. Born, die. And I want you to take your pen and mark that line where you think you are tonight. Mark it. Where you think you are tonight. On the left side of that line, I want you to write this. Gone. G-O-N-E. Gone. And on the other side, mine to live. No one can change anything about what's on the other side of that mark.
That's right.
Can never be changed. It's lived, it's done, it's gone. But what we do from this day forward, that's what's going to count. God is looking for someone to accept responsibility. You know what a church is? A church is a group of people who are accepting the responsibility for the mission that God has given them.
Amen.
That's what we are. We're on His mission. And He's got something for us to do. And that's why we're here. There's no other reason. And so here's what the disciples learned. Where you take the gospel, people will get saved. Where you don't take the gospel, people will not get saved. It all depends on you. That's what a leader is. A leader decides where the gospel goes. The only way we're ever going to have leaders is to love followers, help them to win personal victory, train and teach them how to be workers, and pray that one day they'll accept the responsibility for what God can do with their life. And that's how a church grows and grows and grows. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness. Help us tonight. There's so much, dear Lord, that we want to do with our lives. Help us not live on the other side of that mark. Help us to live with this day forward. Oh God, help us to use our time and this brief life you've given us to make a difference in people's lives. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, in just a moment, the instruments are going to play. If you would, come on to the piano. And tonight, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many people tonight would say, Brother Tom, right here in the quietness of this invitation, I want God to help me to accept the responsibility for the salvation of people. I promise you tonight that if you'll accept the responsibility, God will give you the workers and followers and everything they have. It's because He's rich in glory. And His riches is people. That's what it is. And when people come, they bring what they have. Tonight, you accept it, and God will give you what you need. Father, help us tonight as we give this invitation. And tonight, let's stand if you would. If you'd like to come.